Welcome to another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein. It's just not that easy to characterize Robin Camille. Her career's been an eclectic one. Robin's an activist, actress, comic, vocalist, radio personality, and relationship expert, and has appeared on a slew of radio and TV shows, including The Howard Stern Show and Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, and has been featured regularly on Here's TV shows Threesome, Year in Review, and the Sherry Vine show She's Living for This. As an actress, Robin has been in several independent films, Bear City, the movie, and Violet Tendencies, to name a couple. Her monthly advice column, Dear Diva, appears in Australia's top gay publication, DNA Magazine. She also happens to be the official relationship expert for Playgirl, and also starred in the long-running off-Broadway show, My Big Gay Italian Wedding. Robin joined the animal rights movement after watching the PSA Saving Lolita. It focused on the plight of an orca named Lolita who had been kept at the Miami Seaquarium for more than 45 years. The song, Let the Girl Go, Free Lolita, was Robin's attempt to raise awareness about Lolita. The music video was selected to be screened at this year's Wildlife Film Festival. Robin was asked by PETA to write and narrate several public service announcements to highlight animal captivity in zoos, circuses, and marine parks, and they've been running on national television. So let's get to know Robin Camille. Welcome, and thanks for joining me today.
Hello, Sandy. How are you?
Well, I'm okay, Robin. Usually people don't ask me that. That's the question I ask you.
Oh, well, of course, honey. I want to know how you are.
Well, I'm fine, and I'll probably be even finer as the conversation continues.
Fabulous, honey.
So let's start with, who's Robin Camille, and how did you get to where you are today?
Well, darling, it's been a crazy, crooked, long road. They say the shortest distance between two points is a straight line, honey, but I say sometimes you have to take a turn to keep it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always been a creative soul. I've spent years working in advertising and marketing, but I was always, you know, dabbling in my arts, and then I decided to cut the day gig, the 9 to 5, and just focus on my creative stuff full time.
Did you know that you were creative growing up, and were you encouraged to be
creative?
Of
course, honey. At 3 years old, I put the lampshade on my head and had the broom as my mic, honey. Yeah, so I've always been a creative.
So you're doing stand up at 3?
Something like that. I don't know what you would have called it, but it was something.
You were
honey.
Performing.
I was performing, honey. Mm-hmm. I was performing. Always mm-hmm. on, always mm-hmm. on, honey. My mom couldn't even finish dinner. Mm-hmm. She had to come and see my stuff.
So you yes. had your own kind of brand of self-confidence, didn't you,
at
a young age?
Well, I was an only child.
Uh-huh. That speaks volumes.
It all depends, because sometimes when you have other children in the household, sometimes children trying to compete for attention,
sure.
they branch out and try to get that attention.
And so, knock the other one, elbow the other one out
exactly.
of the way.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Mommy, look at me. Mommy, look at me. So it all depends. It all depends. But I got all of the attention, so.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And so that kind of empowered you.
Yes, empowered you. And I think that for creative people, the one, myself included, and others that I know, I think that it's something in your spirit. Being a creative person is in your spirit, and it's something that's there. And I think most of us do have the ability to be creative spirits, but I think sometimes life, people, circumstances squelch that,
uh-huh.
Dampen the spirit, and people just get stuck in these run-of-the-mill jobs where they're not happy, and that creativity just gets choked.
Well, in your case, was it this realization that maybe I better get, quote, a legitimate career because I have to earn a living?
Well, yes, honey, because starving artist doesn't work for me, honey, because I'm a girl who has to eat.
Yeah.
Okay? So, yes, it was that. It was about, you know, being able to pay the bills.
Where'd you go to college?
Well, I went to college at Iona, which was in New Rochelle.
That's Westchester County,
yes,
in New York.
Yes, Westchester mm-hmm. County in New York. And my thing was, and my mother said, you know, you can do your creative stuff, just have something to fall back on.
Be a teacher. That's what it was in my day. Be a nurse or a teacher.
Yes, have something, you know, have something so that you can do to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
So that, of course, made sense. But the other thing, too, sometimes when you get on these jobs, you get stuck. Because when you're on a job, you're living someone else's dream, not your own.
Huh. You mean when you work for somebody?
Yeah, when you work for someone, honey, you're actually helping them fulfill their dream.
Oh, I never thought of it.
Oh, yes. Whatever they're doing, whether they have a company, a radio station, whatever they're doing, you're helping them to fulfill their goal and their dream.
And that wasn't good enough for you.
No, it wasn't good enough for me. Why should I, you know, live my life through someone else's, eyes and try to live to help them further their goals? And what about my goals?
So when did you have this epiphany? You woke up one day you're going to work and just said...
No, you know something, honey? I had been having these feelings for a long time. It was just a matter of figuring out financially what you want to do. Because the other thing, too, honey, you have to save your money. Okay, because when you make that move to step out, to get away from the day gig, honey, you can't sit up there and have nothing to fall back on. You can't, live a dream on food stamps.
Sure.
So you have to save your money. You have to be fiscally smart. And you make plans. You have to make a plan, which I did, honey, which I did.
So you decided you got out of advertising.
I got out of advertising and marketing.
And how long ago?
That was about 8 years ago.
Okay.
That I left the business. Because, again, it was a grind. And I was working on commission only anyway. So I said, hell, honey. I started there. It was five, six years I was in the industry.
In advertising
and marketing. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. And, I learned because, I mean, some of the principles that I learned, I can apply to what I'm doing now.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because you have to market yourself. It's all about marketing.
So you leave. And then what do you do?
I leave. And then I started. I put up my one-woman show.
But how did you have the nerve to have a one-woman show?
Well, you know something? I had actually been working on it for a while. And, having the time, because time is crucial, too, because oftentimes what happens, you don't have the time. You're running all over the place and you do have to sleep at some point. But I finally, put the show together. I had it in my head. The first place I did it was at Rose's Turn, which is now closed, lost at least like so many other places in New York. And that's the other thing, being an artist, trying to find venues where you can actually do a show or have an outlet where you're not laying out thousands and thousands of dollars to rent the space. So
what was your voice?
I was sort of kind of all over the place. I was focusing because a lot of the material from the one woman show, Robin Camille Roar and Real, came from my book, Get Off the Titty, Poetry That Bites.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And, I focused on, racial issues, police brutality, relationships. It ran the gamut. It was
kind of all over the place. There were serious subjects
definitely.
Were also tongue-in-cheek?
Listen, there were serious subjects. And, how the show ran, I would do something very, do some comedic stuff. And then I would do something very serious. And then before people decided to, take their knives out and cut their wrists, I went back up and did something light again. So it was like an up and down. It was like a little roller coaster, but it touched on a lot of things.
And you did this alone. And what I mean by that,
yes,
you didn't have anybody mentoring you.
No, unfortunately, I would have liked a mentor, but no, I didn't have a mentor because mentorship is very important because sometimes you can be all over the place and sometimes you need another set of eyes,
sure,
and ears to point you in the right direction so you save time and energy. So, yeah, mentorship is very important, but I didn't have it. So when you don't have it, you do what you have to do.
And it takes longer to get to... From point A to point B?
Yes, it takes longer when you don't have a mentor because, 2 weeks before I put the show up, I didn't have it completely written. So had I had a mentor, I probably would have had more direction. But, sometimes divine intervention helps too, honey. Sometimes God just knocks you on the head and say, here you go, girl, write this down.
Did that happen to
you?
Yes,
that's what happened, honey, because 2 weeks before the show, I didn't have it together.
No, but then you had it together. And then what was the reception?
The reception was very good.
People came to see you?
Of course people came to see me, honey. Everyone wants to come see Miss Robin. Because, everyone knows that if they know me, if they've seen me before, even
But if
in
I
person,
don't know you, why do I want to come see
you? Well, you know something, dear? If you are in tune to energy, even people that just meet me on the street, they were like, because when I did my show in Provincetown, Mass, people who didn't know me, I was standing there, because everybody's got to bark in P-Town. That's one of the reasons I don't like performing there. Everybody's got to bark and promote yourself. And I'm handing out flyers. People are like, oh my God, you seem like fun. I'll come see your show. So it was that sort of thing. But with the one-woman show here in New York, I mean, I had so many people who did know me who came out and were telling their friends, you got to go see her. You got to go see her. And and word of mouth, you know, carried me the rest of
the way. So you were relatively well received?
Yes, dear, I would say. Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. The show sold out.
And this was, what did you say, 5 or 6 years ago?
Yes, it's a little more than 5 or 6 years ago, because Rose's Turn, they've been closed about 7 years
now.
So
then take us on the path from that point.
From that point, I took the show to Minneapolis. I took it to Provincetown several times. I took it out to Fire Island. I did a DVD of the show, which I was promoting. So the show went well, and then I branched off into giving advice.
Yeah, that's really weird. Yes. Yeah, and I'm going to say this way. Where did you get off doing that to become a relationship expert?
Well, one of my friends was actually putting together a magazine. And she was showing me, you know, what she was doing, you know, the columns and what she was putting together and everything. And I said, girl, you need an advice column in here. And she was like, oh, really? That's right. You want to write it? And I'm like, okay. So it just came about like that. And I wrote the column. And it was, you know, very popular because it was an online magazine. It was very popular. And I said, okay, this is fun. I can do this. I like doing this.
Yes. And that morphed into Playgirl?
That morphed into Playgirl. At first, I had my own website called canwebereal.com where people submitted questions. And then I would go on to, I started doing guest spots on various radio shows. Yeah, promoting that and coming on as the relationship expert and having callers do call-ins and asking me questions on the air. And I would give them advice on the air. So, yes. And then, you know, Playgirl came about and DNA Magazine. I have that monthly column there. So, yeah, all of this came about. And, I mean, it's something that I like doing.
If you're just joining us, my guest today is Robin Camille, who is an actress, a comic, a vocalist, a radio personality, and, as you've just been hearing, a relationship expert. I'm intrigued by the relationship expert because I wouldn't know what to tell people, even though, I mean, people might think that I've just got the world's greatest life, but that doesn't mean that I know what to say to you. Don't you think that took, well, instead of saying balls, I'll say chutzpah.
Okay. Balls is all right, honey.
Well, I just wanted to use another.
Okay. Chutzpah balls, honey. Yes. Cojones, as the Latinos say. I think I have this, this innate sense. And I think that's what it is, basically, innate sense to see things.
Yeah.
And sometimes, even in my own life, sometimes, you know, the truth is not what you want it to be, but you have to accept it for what it is.
And so you pull no punches.
No, I don't pull any punches because you can't go through life with rose-colored glasses. If, you know, if a relationship is not working or if something's not working, you have to realize that and move on. Sometimes people hang on to things too long because they figure, oh, I've invested 10 years in this. Well, honey, listen, it's up like a poker game. Sometimes you have to cut your losses.
You got to fold.
You got to fold, honey. And it's okay. There's another game down the street, okay, in another parlor, another casino. But you've got to fold here because you can't end up in a homeless shelter stuck in this game that you're not winning.
Right.
Yeah.
So how did all of these things incorporate, all of these different various aspects of your life into your life?
Well, honey, speaking of balls, I mean, that's what I'm doing, juggling balls. And sometimes it gets a little crazy because sometimes I'm like, oh, well, maybe I should just focus on one thing or maybe I should just focus on the performing or the advice. But I love both. So why can't you do both?
So talk about your performing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that happen with great regularity? Is it fair for me to say stand up or is it something
well,
other
you know
than
something?
That?
I don't like
that term.
No, not the term, but the circuit per se. The other reason that I put together the one woman show is because people were telling me, oh, you know, I was telling them I wanted to do more comedy. They were like, well, Robin, you need to go to these comedy shows. Do a comedy show. Go to the comedy clubs.
Open mic.
Yeah, open mics and that sort of thing. And I checked out a few open mics and their thing was, okay, we'll let you perform, but you have to bring 10 people, paying customers, and there's a 2-drink minimum. So I said to myself, well, honey, if I'm telling everybody to come down here and line your pockets and I'm getting not a dime, I might as well put up my own show, which is what I did.
And performed it where?
Now I go to the Duplex, as Rose's Turn, as I said, lost their
So
weight.
That's a local New York City venue
A local New York City venue as well. And, that's what you do. And performers out there, you know, especially comics, I know that, you know, having that stage and that mic is very important. But you also cannot get to the point where people are taking advantage of your talent and using you. Because that's how it seemed to me.
Well, how do you want to be characterized? Mm-hmm. How do you want to be remembered? What do you want on your tombstone?
Oh, what do I want of my tombstone?
As we talk about your career.
Yes.
Which I guess, as I said, is pretty eclectic.
Yes, it is pretty eclectic. Okay, Robin Camille, Here She Lies. She was a sassy bitch who gave us fun, laughter, and wisdom. Yes.
Well, that I guess that really characterizes
that
you.
That sums it up, honey. You know, it's about giving. I like I said, I love it, lifting people's spirits up, whether they be coming to a show that I'm doing, provoking thought, or whether it be me giving them confirmation on something as far as advice that they already know.
Well, let's talk about that advice, mm-hmm. because do you not think it odd that mm-hmm. your advice column appears in a gay publication?
No, darling. No, I have, you know, I have a very large gay following. Mm-hmm. You know, most gay men want to be fierce, sassy black women. So, you know, honey, it is what it is. I mean, the boys love me. Mm-hmm. So it almost seemed like a natural fit, natural flow.
That is interesting.
Yes, yes.
So how do you divide your time?
Mm-hmm. You know, I have a lot of projects that I'm juggling because right now I'm doing more of the activism stuff in addition to performing.
You have an agent?
No, I don't have an agent.
That must make you an anomaly.
Well, yeah, well, you know something? I used to freelance with an agent, but now I don't because it's, with the performing, it's, you know, you put up your show, you produce it, you do everything, okay? Sometimes I've done shows with other comedians. We put together other shows and done stuff. But sometimes having an agent is not the end all to be all.
So you're just saying you don't need one?
Well, I don't say I don't need one, but right now it's not really necessary.
Okay.
Because oftentimes what happens is with an agent is going to go for the low-hanging fruit, meaning that they will work with their people in their stable who constantly working.
If you walk the heavyweights?
The heavyweights, per se, because that's where their bread and butter is. And I get it. So you may have an agent per se, but that doesn't mean you're going to get work. For instance, one of my friends, he was on tour with Rent, and he actually had an agent because he was doing a lot of touring, doing with the cruise ships and on off-Broadway stuff. And how he got that tour with Rent was not through his agent.
The off-Broadway show.
The Broadway show,
well,
the Rent.
That, yeah,
but
right,
he was
right,
doing
right.
the
started
tour.
Off Broadway.
Yes,
yeah.
but yes, mm-hmm. but he was actually doing the tour after it was on Broadway.
Got it.
He was touring the country. Someone who actually had the same agent went on an audition and told him about it. And that's how he actually booked the tour. So his agent didn't even tell him about it. The agent told one of his other clients about it, and he mentioned it to him. So like I said, even having an agent doesn't necessarily guarantee you work.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it all
mm-hmm.
depends. So you have to hustle. I think
that's
at the
a
end
given
of the day.
Anyway.
It's a given anyway, honey. You have to hustle at the end of the day, whether you have an agent or not. You always have to hustle and you always have to be marketing yourself. And I think that's the beauty now of having the internet, where you have so many aspects of it where you can market yourself.
So you could make a video
right.
that goes online
right.
and kind of is no skin off your nose.
Right.
It's not a big deal.
Right, right. And you can get it out there. Because the other thing, too, I was speaking to one of my friends who has a production company, and we were talking, even now, agents want you to have a quote-unquote following. How many eyeballs are on you?
Oh, Twitter and
yes, yes.
Facebook.
So it's all of that. How many eyeballs are on
it's
you?
It's all about the numbers.
It's all about the numbers. But that's work that you have to do yourself. You have to create your own stuff. You have to do it yourself.
But when you step outside your world mm-hmm. and look into it, where are you in your head? Are you in a good place and you think, this is where I want to be mm-hmm. in my career? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're always not struggling, but we're
yes.
always having to dance as fast as we can.
Right. Well, you know something? I would like to have my message get to more people.
Right.
You know, the advice stuff. I would like to broaden that. Although Playgirl is a wonderful
platform. I was just going to say, isn't that huge?
Yeah, I mean, that is a wonderful
platform. But
that is a wonderful platform. Playgirl is a wonderful platform. And we're actually going to start doing my advice via video. So it's going to be
on their website?
Yes. Yes, it's going to be a video. So that's going to be great.
So are they going to feature me with my question, or you're going to read the question that I wrote in?
Yeah, I'm going to read the question because people like to remain anonymous.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
That's, yeah, people like to remain anonymous.
Even people who read Playgirl.
Yes, even people who read Playgirl, they like to remain anonymous. So, you know, and I appreciate that and respect that. And also they are freer and more open because if their identity is shown, they're going to be shy, honey. And I don't like shy, honey. Just let it all hang out.
You don't care.
Oh,
even there
not...
must be some outrageous
well, that's
questions.
Fine. That's fine. But, you know, usually people write things that they really want to know about. Oftentimes people already know the answers themselves.
Who do you get questions from, more men or women?
I say a mix of both. A mix of both. Of course, DNA, it's all boys.
Yes,
but
of course.
No, but no, with player, it's a mix. And people, like I said, most people, we all have this innate sense, this mother wit, when things are not right or what we should do. But, you know, we convince ourselves that, oh, it can't be because we want it to be something else. And then they'll write me and ask. And you know, I'll say, honey, you knew this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They just need a confirmation.
Once again, if you're just joining us, I've been talking with Robin Camille, who is an activist, actress, comic, vocalist, TV and radio personality, and a relationship expert. Let's move over to
mm-hmm.
activist.
Yes.
Talk to me about how that all started.
The activism came about. One of my friends actually produced the PSA, Saving Lolita, which was about an orca who was captured from her home in Washington State and sold to a marine park in Florida.
If this person wasn't your friend,
mm-hmm.
you would not necessarily know about Lolita.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Because what happened is he was screening the PSA at a film festival that I attended. And I saw it, and it just blew my mind. Because her captivity reminded me of slavery as I'm sitting there watching this.
Now, let me interrupt, and mm-hmm. I read about that.
Yes.
And you got taken to task for that comparison. Did
yes.
that bother you?
No, it didn't. No, it didn't. Because the thing of it is that you can always agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
And if I see something and that's the way I feel, then I'm not going to, you know, silence myself because you don't agree. Because that's what I felt, that's what I saw, and that's what I said.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what happened, she was stolen from her home. She was sold as a baby to a marine park, an entity, to make money off of her. She's been held in a tank that is the smallest one in the U.S. So, yes, that's how I felt, and that's what I said.
Mm-hmm.
And other people have made that comparison, too,
mm-hmm.
But they've been shut down and called racist. But, you know, you can't call me a racist.
Right.
Yes.
So you're really moved by this orca's plight.
Yes.
And
yes.
you wrote a song?
Yes, called Let the Girl Go.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Free Lolita.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And my thing is with music, because sometimes you can beat people over the head about with a message and become really preaching, get on your soapbox. And I've done that too, honey. However, when you put it in a song and people are dancing to it, you know, they start listening to the music, that's a better way to get...
Did it get a lot of play?
It did get a lot of play. And then as a result, although unfortunately Lolita's still in that tank.
How long ago?
Did the song come out?
Yeah.
Relatively a year. And there was a huge march for her in January down in Florida that I attended with Jane Velez Mitchell, Shannon Doherty, and others trying to raise awareness. And you know, for the last 10 years, you've had people in Florida protesting there every weekend, trying to turn people away and make them aware.
Are there other Lolita? Out
there. Oh, honey, there are plenty of animals out there that are being held. You know, there's another animal, Nosy, who is an elephant who's being mistreated in circuses.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, even Ringling Brothers, they have committed to stop using elephants in their performances and their shows because they mistreat the animals. They work them round the clock. They don't get the proper treatment. So, no, there are a lot of Lolitas out there, per se, in terms of animals who are being mistreated.
Do you feel frustrated that nothing changed for this animal?
Yes, you do. You feel frustrated that nothing has changed. And the other thing, too, in this 24-hour news cycle, it's very difficult to keep something top of mind for people. You know, the march in January garnered a lot of response, a lot of attention, you know, from CBS and, you know, Good Morning America as a result of the march. But then things kind of died down. So it's very difficult. And then, there, like I said, then we had Cecil the Lion, which also, you know.
The lion that was shot.
The lion that was shot in Africa by the dentist. You know, things like that often, you know.
One replaces another.
Yeah, one replaces another, but it also sort of raises people's awareness about all the animals. But now people have sort of moved on from Cecil as well, because we live in this 24-hour news cycle. We're always bombarded with some other information, whether it be about the election or someone, you know, who murdered his wife and kept her head in his trunk for a year. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's always something.
Right.
In addition to everyone just trying to survive themselves.
So as a result of this, you became a member of PETA.
Ingrid Newkirk, who's the co-founder of PETA, actually reached out to me because she said, Robin, we need to work together more. And, you know, because, again, many people have made the comparison between animal captivity and slavery. But if a white person says that, then they're deemed a racist, and that shuts everything down. That's the worst thing you can call someone. But if I bring that argument up, at least people have to listen, because you can't use that old racist argument with me. So I wrote a couple of PSAs and narrated them as well with PETA to bring this to light in terms of the parallels between captivity and slavery.
And has it been impactful?
Yes, it's been impactful. The PSAs are running on ABC, Fox, and Bounce TV nationwide. So, yeah, it's getting the word out. Because the other thing, too, I think a lot of people are just not aware of how these animals are being treated and their plight. You know, when they go to the circus or when they go to the zoos or they go to a marine park, they don't know the backstory. They're just thinking, oh, we're taking the kids for a day, you know.
To SeaWorld.
Right, to SeaWorld. They don't understand the backstory.
Although it's gotten a lot.
Now you know. It has, yes.
In the recent past.
Yes.
So, Robin, we're kind of running out of time. We have a little bit left. So, what's in your future?
I'm actually doing a show with someone else, an opera singer. We're collaborating, and that's coming. What does that mean?
You're going to. So, this is.
I'm collaborating.
And you're going to sing?
No, honey, I'm not singing. I'm doing the comedy, although I do sing. I'll let the opera singer do the singing. So, we're going to be collaborating. That show is actually going up in February. So, I'm going to be working on that. And, of course, continuing to try to get Lolita and other captives out of their cages, doing my work. You know, I'm also working with another organization, Rock and Rawhide, and they actually, they actually give toys to animals in shelters. Yes, because it makes them more appealing to potential pet parents when they come to the shelter. They see them playing with the toy as opposed to them sulking in the cage. Exactly. So I actually wrote a PSA for them as well that, you know, it's getting some play. So, you know, I do these things to help the animals because I believe when you give, you get. And you have to receive to get. And it's just a cycle that we try to continue.
But in terms of other non-activist work, what is it? What would you like to do, let's rephrase it that way, that you haven't done?
Well, I would like to finish my advice book, which I'm hoping to finish this year.
I didn't know you were writing one.
Yes, yes, I'm writing an advice
book. Is this just culling all the questions from your columns?
Well, no, this is more of a dating advice book. Yeah, dating romance advice
book. You take your own advice, by the way?
Yes, I do, sometimes too much so. Because you know something, when I see something shady, immediately I shut it off. And like if that, you know, I listen to cues, and sometimes maybe I over analyze things. But that's the Scorpio in me too, honey.
You know? So are you involved with somebody?
No, I'm actually looking. So I did some spring cleaning. So I'm actually looking, honey. I'm on the hunt, so to speak.
Okay.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
We gotta let people know you're out there.
Oh, honey, let people know I'm out there.
Well, let them know.
Yeah, I'm out here, honey. Miss Robin is looking for someone. I like mature men. Yes, yes. I like mature men.
So how do they reach you, Robin?
Well, they can reach me at playgirladvice at gmail.com. That's the first start.
But you're fine where you are in your personal life.
Yes, I am. But I, like I said, I would like to, of course, you always like to share your life with someone and have, you know, and have a partner. That's a good thing. Yes. As long as the partner's good. And when I say good, I'm not one of these people who have a long laundry list.
You're just
of things.
Talking about as long as he's not nuts.
Exactly. No. As long as he's not nuts and as long as he's, you know, got a good spirit. You know,
that's a good way
to
end,
no, it's a good spirit. It is. You know,
and that's what's most important.
That's
to
what's
you.
Most important. I don't care. You know, you don't have to be 6'4", you know, drive a Ferrari. That kind of stuff. I don't care about, you know, if you're losing your hair, if you're bald, honey, that's okay. But you have to have a good spirit. You know, my grandmother used to say, you get more flies with honey than you can with vinegar.
Hello.
So I tried to spread that honey.
So your glass is always half full.
There you go.
Excellent. Robin.
Yes.
Thanks for showing up today.
Well, thank you, Sandy.
And having a conversation. It was really easy to talk to you.
Well, thank you, darling.
Much more continued success in your personal and professional lives.
Thank you, darling. Next time I come back, hopefully I'll have a man.
But I don't want to talk to him because this is a show about women. Join us for another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein. Ba-da-ya.